This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Say it forcefully. Say it believing. So it shall be for you. Give God a big hand for the wonderful ministration from the choir this morning. Hallelujah. You shall not be barren in the land. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Come into His presence with thanksgiving for all that He has done. That's what the scripture admonishes us in Psalm 100. Verse 3. Therefore, lift up your hand with me and let us give quality thanks to the Lord. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. My fruitfulness is here. Somebody thank Him from the depth of your heart. You shall no longer be barren in the land. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Celebrate Him from the depth of your heart. Give Him the glory due to Him. His word is true. It's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Thank Him and thank Him and thank Him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. God sends His word to carry out His mission, to carry out His plan, to carry out His purpose. Today has been designated with a purpose, Covenant Day of Fruitfulness. Therefore, pray with me. Father, send Your word of fruitfulness to me today. Pray that prayer right now. Fruitfulness in my body, fruitfulness in my land, fruitfulness in my cattle, fruitfulness in all I lay my hands on to do. Pray that prayer right now. I shall be fruitful. I receive the word of the Lord for my fruitfulness. I receive the word of the Lord for my fruitfulness. I receive the word of the Lord for my fruitfulness. Thank You, mighty Father. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' wonderful name we have given thanks. Will you please lift up your hand? I speak fruitfulness to you today. When we speak success, we seek success. When we speak healing, we see healing. Now I speak forth Your fruitfulness. Receive it in the name of Jesus. According to the word of the Lord, which is alive forevermore, I decree barrenness be over in your life. As you receive the word, your fruitfulness shall be created now. In Jesus' precious name. All who believe, receive it with a loud amen. Please get seated. If you can, I can see you want to clap to the Lord. Why don't you do that very well? Do that louder. Do it with a shout to Him. Assure your neighbors to your right, to your left, you shall be fruitful in the land. It is my year of breaking limits. Again, you are specially welcome to this Covenant Day of Fruitfulness. As we have called it, it will answer in your life. What did we call today? Will it answer for you? Okay, please say it one more time. And what does that mean? I shall be fruitful. What does that mean for your neighbor? You shall be fruitful. And what does it say to all of us? We shall be fruitful. The prophetic theme for this month has been financial fortune is my heritage in Christ. If you can, wave your hand and say with me, bye-bye to poverty. You will never be poor again. You will never beg for bread. Your children will never beg. Our teaching series every Sunday, today being part 2B in this service, is gateways to financial fortune. And our running scriptures, scriptural text is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Very interesting and refreshing. And God is able. So may God is able. Let him hear you. Say it to God. What is he able to do? To make all grace abound towards your neighbor? Towards you? What does that mean? You are the target of God's grace. When grace is coming down, who is it looking for? Towards you. That for emphasis, that you always having, never lacking, not sometimes, always having. What will be your testimony from now? Always having. All sufficiency, not inadequacies, not insufficient, in all things, including houses, including lands, including cars, including money. How many things? All things. You are blessed in all things. I say you are blessed in all things. You are blessed in all things. And what's the purpose of God blessing you in all things? So that you may abound to every good work. Abraham was blessed in all things. Genesis 24 verse 1. And now God, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had, not the Lord will, the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? And Abraham is your father. And so what does that mean? As a child of Abraham through Christ Jesus, you are blessed in all things. Lift up your hand and thank God for your blessing. All around blessing. I don't lack again. I never suffer insufficiency again. I have all things in Jesus' name. You may not look like it now, but soon it will become a reality in your life. Those who mock you today will beg from you tomorrow. In Jesus' precious name. Please note, by way of receiving God's word this morning, that the subject of prosperity does not answer to prayer. That is not to say prayer is not important. But prayer is not the fundamental thing to do. You don't pray your way out of poverty. You practice the covenant out of poverty. It's my duty to pray for you to be blessed. But you have to do something. You have to practice the covenant. Prayer is a supplement, not a substitute to practice. Prayer is a supplement and complement, not a substitute to practice. Your pastor will pray for you, but you have to practice what the pastor is teaching you. The practice of the covenant, not the prayer to claim the promises. Prayer is of no effect without preceding practices. Prayer is a backup to the things you practice. Your prayer only reminds God of your practice. Put me in remembrance. In remembrance of what? Remembrance of your doing your own part. And that's why we have said that kingdom prosperity is a product of covenant practice. What is covenant? Covenant simply means an agreement between parties involved in an adventure. And this covenant contains terms. That is, what each party will do for the fulfillment of the covenant. This time around, the covenant is between you and God, the covenant of prosperity. He tells you what to do, and he will do what you cannot do. That's covenant. If you want his heaven's treasure, you have to give your little treasure. That's the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he, God, that giveth thee power to get wealth. Your own power may get you riches. You may get money to buy, but God gives you power to get. Power to get is superior to money to buy. It's superior to riches to buy. How do I mean? There was a time people had money but no food to buy. Money was useless. In the midst of that, Jacob and his children were eating. They were eating fat. In the face of famine, money is of no effect. Money will fail, but blessing cannot fail. I thought somebody saying amen. Blessing means by all means. Money is a means, but blessing operate by any or no means at all. When you are blessed, things come your way beyond your wildest imagination. When you are rich, you can buy. When you are blessed, you simply get. Many of you will go out from here today, you will get land. Somebody will come to you and say, I just like you. I just like you. I just like you. I just like you. Just take this. They'll be begging you, please manage, just manage this. And what is he telling you to manage? 1 million naira. Just manage this. Just manage this. Hallelujah. Power to get. That's the covenant. But this has to be preceded by the law of giving and receiving. The covenant therefore anchors on your willingness and readiness to give. Willingness and readiness to give. Now, why does God bless you? Or why do God wants to bless you? Please listen to this very well. The anchor purpose of wealth in this kingdom is for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Secondly, he blesses you so you can be a blessing to the world around you, to people around you. Matthew 24:14, this message, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations and all nations, and when and then shall the end come. Money limits movement. Money limits movement. Many of us came here this morning from far distances. How did you come? Money in your pocket. Or money in the pocket of the person who brought you. Money limits movement. Nobody can go beyond the means available to him. So also, we cannot preach this gospel without money. That's why Jesus was not poor. People follow Jesus not just for his anointing, but for his prosperity. They knew that no matter how long they stay with him, he will give them food when they are going back. So they were following him. To the extent that he told them, I know you are following me for food. They say, yes, now, you are following for food. Hallelujah. Affluence will always influence A man of affluence is a man of influence. A number of you, perhaps you are seated here this morning, you are saying that your parents doesn't believe in Christ. It's because you don't have affluence. If you are have means, invite your papa to come on visit. When he comes, put him in the air-conditioned room. Make sure breakfast is there, lunch is there, dinner is there. From Monday, by Saturday, we'll ask you, now which time will I go to church? No invitation. No, your money is speaking. Your money is doing what? Speaking. Say loud amen. When you go for your family meeting, if you are poor, they won't allow you to speak other than to pray. In fact, they will accord you with the honor. Pastor, pray. And after you pray, they are discussing, you raise your hand. They say, Pastor, wait. After they finish, they say, Pastor, pray. It is those who have the money who speaks, not those who can pray. Are you there? Respectfully, let me say, many people seated here came to this church because it is a prosperous church. Me, I won't prosper. That church, when they prosper, now there I won't go. Money limits movement. So we cannot preach the gospel. Today, by the grace of God, we are planting churches. As I'm talking to you right now, some hundreds of churches have been planted today. How? With money. This year, despite the lockdown, by the grace of God, we have planted close to 2,500 churches. By today, we are close to that. How? Money. You don't go to a place and say, give us this house to use for church. No. We want to rent this place, or we want to buy this place. That will be your story from now. I said that will be your story from now. Jesus was carrying money. The only official he had was a treasurer, Judas the thief. He stole and stole but couldn't finish the bag. That tells you how much Jesus had. He had 12 staff with him. 12 staff working full time with him. And he asked them, when I sent you with that post or script, did you lack anything? They said, no, oh God, we never lacked anything. Everything we needed was supplied. How? From the bag of money that Jesus gave to them. What are we saying? The reason why God wants you to prosper is to advance his kingdom. Can I see someone here who is willing to allow God to use him to advance the kingdom? Then you will not lack money. I say you will not lack money. You will not lack money. Now you see, if you want to prosper, start dreaming kingdom dreams. Start thinking and planning how you will build churches. That's what Bishop Oyedepo does. That's what I do by the grace of God. Thinking every day. How do we help people here and there? By the grace of God, in the neighborhood around here, through, you know, the little effort that has been made by my wife, we have built schools and renovated schools for communities here. Free of charge, including furnishing, and including hiring teachers, volunteer teachers to teach in those schools. Free of charge. Everything fully paid for. God knows what I will do, so he's putting it in my hand. Are you hearing that? God's servant Bishop Oyedepo, he said he went for a meeting in America and an offering was being called. Is there somebody who will give $50,000? And one little woman came out and said, excuse me, I brought 80,000. You called for 50. I brought 80,000. I hope you will receive it. And he said in his heart, Lord, that's the kind of thing I want to be doing. That's the kind of thing I want to be doing. Watching the house of God, getting things done in the house of God. How many of you will receive the grace for it right now? Receive it in the name of Jesus. That's That's why God has blessed you. Look at our father Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, from verses 1 and 3, God told him he will bless him so that he can be a blessing. And he took Lot, his brothers. And in chapter 13, as Abraham was blessed, Lot was being blessed. Listen to me. Your true reflection of prosperity is not in you, but in people around you. In people around you. In people around you. Your true reflection of prosperity is not in what you wear, is not in what you ride, is not in what you eat and drink. It is reflected in the people around you, in the lives of the people around you. You can't claim you are blessed and your relations cannot pay their children's school fees. You can't claim you are blessed and somebody in your service unit in the church cannot have food to eat. No. If it is not reflecting in people around you, then you are not really blessed. You may be rich, you are not blessed. A blessed man is one who is using his riches to reach people. If your riches is not reaching people, you are not blessed. We saw how Abraham would sit in front of his house and be attending to passerbys, give them water, give them milk, give them meat, give them what to eat and drink. Let me say this, that this is the reason why God will not bless anyone in this kingdom beyond his commitment to promotion of the kingdom on earth. How well you want to promote the kingdom will determine how much you'll be blessed. David was a promoter of the kingdom of God. Out of the treasures of God that gave to him, he loved God and he gave so much. But where did it begin from? It began from his heart. Solomon, his son, who lived with him, testified. Your testimony is best borne by people who live with you. Outsiders may call you a good man. What are insiders calling you? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And it was in the heart of David. It was in the heart of David. It was in the heart of David, my father. It was not in his hand, but it was in his heart. To build an house for the name of the Lord, God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, I have seen your heart. I have seen your heart. What you have in your hand is limited. What you have in your heart is unlimited. Whereas it was in your heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in your heart. That heart means dream. It was in your dream. It was in your soul to want to do it. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 25. The liberal soul. Let's take it from 24. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is he that withholdeth more than is needed. More than it is needed. Don't keep more than you need. Like many people in the government today who are stealing. Many politicians stealing. Billions. Billions. Very soon, God will catch up with them. Stack of money in Europe. Stack of money in America. Stack of money everywhere. Stealing. Habba. And leaving people, the common man, to suffer. Judgment is coming in Nigeria. And it will not be long from now. The Lord will hear the cry of the poor. And all the wicked will pay with their nose. Keeping more than is needed, yet they tend to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Let your soul be willing. Let your soul be liberal. Dream kingdom dreams. Dream about building churches. By the grace of God, my wife and I, we have been privileged to build about 4 or 5 churches in different communities where people don't have the means to do it. Deliver us all. Please, I'm sharing this testimony not to impress anybody, but to let you know that we are practicing what we are teaching. I had God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo, said, I want to build 1,000 churches in my lifetime. When I hear, my body shakes. And I keep praying in my heart, Lord, give me the grace to do what this man is doing. Your blessing is not measured by what you receive, but by what goes out from. What goes out from you is the definition of prosperity. What goes out from you? Kingdom wealth is defined by financial stewardship, not financial accumulation. Financial stewardship, not financial accumulation. Give to the poor. Proverbs 28:27. Take care of people who you don't even know. Matthew 25:31-41. Give with discretion. Don't throw your money into places that will not profit you. There are people who give bribe. They give bribe. Directly or indirectly. Because of what they are looking for from somebody, they can say, this is Christmas gift for you. When the man is no longer in the position, he doesn't take Christmas gift from him. But because of what he wants from the person, that bribery, bribe. Give with discretion. Don't throw your resources anyhow. Psalm 112, verse 3, verse 5. He shall guide his affairs with discretion. Now, covenant requirements for working in financial fortune, what are they? We've looked all of the time at series of it. But principally, is your tithing, your tithe, your tithe. I share this testimony to the glory of God. I have been paying my tithe since 1979, when I had the privilege to work as a clerk. Salary then was 96 naira. Tithe will never miss. Tithe will never miss. You wonder why we are blessed today? A foundation has been laid. Are you a tither? If you are not, reconcile with God. You are a robber. That's what God said. Malachi chapter 3, from verse 6 to 11, I'm the Lord, I change it not. Don't rob me. If you rob me, the virus will catch up with you. Don't rob me. If you do, your heaven will not open to receive blessing. Number two is kingdom advancement sacrifice. Kingdom advancement sacrifice. That is advancing and promoting everything about the church. Everything about, you hear about building church, you go and build it. You hear about church planting, you get engaged in it. That's the way it works. Number two, or number three, giving to ministries and ministers of the gospel. This is a subject many times we are shy to share it, lest people misinterpret what we mean. But it is biblical, and we are practitioners of it. The word of God is very simple. He said, if we minister to you spiritual things, it is your duty to minister back to us material things. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? That is, your ministers give you spiritual things in appreciation of what they give to you that make you to be alive, you give back your material things. I'm teaching you as a doer. By the grace of God, I give to my pastors, to my prophets, regularly, not occasionally, regularly, like giving salary. In appreciation for their commitment to my spiritual well-being, I can't pay them. For instance, one of our spiritual fathers called Kenneth Copeland. What will you give to the man? A man who, as at the last time I knew, had given 37 aircraft as gift to people. Is it $1,000 I will give to him or $10,000 that he will be jumping? 37 aircraft. Find out how much they sell at the aircraft. Or is it to Pastor Adeboye or to Bishop Oyedepo, I will give something and I'll be saying, I give them something. So it is not what you give that makes the minister, or that makes the ministry, or that makes the church. Not that they have want, according to Philippians chapter 4, but that you, something may come to your account. That's the reason. Please hear me again. We are not saying this to advocate for the giving of anyone. I've told you, we are very shy talking about this. Lest people misunderstand. Like Paul said, he said, we have used none of these things, lest the gospel be blamed. Let me say at this point, it is wrong for any pastor to knock at your door to come and beg for food. No. I've been pastoring for 33 years now. I've never knocked at any member's house. And I thank God there are members whom I pastored then. In my first pastorate in Maiduguri, who are here. I saw two of them this morning. I've never looked needy. I've never talked needy, even when I had need. Because they are not the ones who sent me. It is God who sent me. Of course, anybody can be used as a means to reach out to you, but there is no one who can boast, if not for me. Where would that man be? I vowed before the Lord that no man shall make a boast and or glory of my of me, serving the Lord truthfully and sincerely from the heart. So when you give to churches, when you give to ministries, when you give to ministers, you are not helping them. You are not helping them. You are not helping them. You are helping yourself. Did you hear that at all? Because there are people who go around, they behave as if they are sponsors. We are the ones sponsoring that ministry. Yeah, we are sponsoring that ministry. Amen. You can't sponsor any ministry. You can't sponsor any minister. It's a privilege to give whenever we do so. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Do you know that nobody has capacity to meet the needs of others? That's what motivates my giving. I can't cater for myself. Let me cater for others, and God will cater for me. Many people are busy saving and saving and saving and saving and saving and saving and saving. You can't save for yourself. You can't keep for yourself, but you can give. And when you give, God will give back to you. Somebody say amen. Say louder, amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 15. Now, what are the fringe benefits from our giving? When you give, curses can never work on you, especially when you give sacrificially. Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 22, when you give, Noah built an altar, took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and God smelled. See, anytime you give, you are drawing God's attention. Why? God is a giver. So when you find a giver, there's a magnet. There's a magnetic effect. God comes to give us. One way for God to draw close to you is by your giving. God gave. Abraham gave. They became friends. Giving brings you to the same platform with God. Solomon loved the Lord and he gave. The same night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Solomon, you love me, I love you. I come to you as your lover. A woman broke an alabaster oil and anointed Jesus from the head to the toes. And Jesus said, anywhere the gospel is preached, this woman's name shall be recorded. Forgiving. Giving. Cornelius, an unbeliever, was giving alms to people. He was giving to the poor. Acts chapter 10. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision. There is something about giving that attracts God to you. It's a magnet. Giving is a magnet that draws God close to you. If you are not a giver, you are not a friend to God. If you are not a giver, you are not a friend to God. People don't give not because they don't have. They give because they don't love. Love motivates giving. Giving secures the generation of our children yet unborn. You see, when you give, you are depositing resources into the future. When Abraham gave, Genesis chapter 22, from verses 1 to 18, the Lord swore. At the end of it all, he said, "By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because thou hast done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you. I'll bless your seed, I'll multiply your seed as the stars of heaven." So you are given to deliver your future generation from poverty. That's what giving does. You are delivering your generations from poverty. Can I tell you something? Your generation shall never be poor. Your generation shall not be poor. Your generation shall not be poor. I lived in a very wonderful home with my grandmother as the head of the family then. Every night before everybody sleeps, there must be some pieces of food remaining. And according to her, should any visitor come in the night, there must be something for them to eat. There is this local pub that they call Echo in the West. She has it every night. That is the easiest food for anybody to eat. And our generations are wallowing in prosperity today. Give not only for yourself, but for your children's children. It will answer in your life. Somebody here, receive the giving grace right now. Do you want it? Lift up your hand and ask God to give you the giving grace. The grace to give in order to get. The grace to give. If you're a giver, you cannot be a beggar. Begging is terminated by giving. Now, receive that grace in the name of Jesus. You are reminded, this is our covenant day of fruitfulness. And emptiness, barrenness, unfruitfulness is ending your life today. Now, by covenant, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our root. And we must be conscious of that. That we are redeemed to be fruitful. Why are we emphasizing this? Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know is what Satan is using against you. If you don't know that you are bound to be fruitful, Satan will be haunting you with unfruitfulness and frustrate you. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 9. Hear with the word of the Lord very clearly. For I will have respect unto you, and I will make you fruitful. So may do it, Lord. What did God say? He will make you fruitful and multiply you in order to establish his covenant with you. You see, everything anchors on the covenant. What moves God is the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And he will love you. Does God love you? And he will love you. And to prove his love, he will bless you. And to express his blessing, he will multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. Somebody say amen. He will bless the fruit of your land. Your corn, your wine, your oil, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, in the land which is well unto your fathers to give thee. He will bless everything. He will make everything fruitful. He will make you fruitful in your body. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. How many people? How many people? That means in your community you will stand out. To the extent that there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. I declare therefore no barren woman or man in this church. It may be for a while, but barrenness will soon be over in your life. It will be over in your family. It will be over for your children and grandchildren. It will be over in your life of your cousins, your nephews, your nieces. Everyone that is caught barren around you, it shall be ended in their life. Oh, I thought somebody is saying a loud amen. Now, I like all of you who brought in your baby items. Put them on the floor right now in front of you, because very soon the power of God is coming upon them. Those, your babies will soon put on those materials. Everybody join me and say loud amen for everyone. Somebody say, oh, you know, I'm not waiting for a child. You may not, but your fellow brother and sister in the church are. They are waiting. So together with me, let's say loud amen on their behalf. By salvation, we are connected to the covenant of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. That's what the word of God assures us. We have been redeemed from the curse of barrenness. Somebody please say with me, I am redeemed from the curse of barrenness. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 18. He said, if you will not obey the word of the Lord, you will be barren in the land. But we have been redeemed from it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us all who are called Gentiles. And in verse 29, if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Abraham was not barren at the end of the day. You shall not be barren again in your life. But serving God, please say with me, serving God. It empowers the redeemed for fruitfulness. Serving God is registering for fruitfulness. Your kingdom service is your registration for the rewards of the womb. You shall serve the Lord your God, and you will not need to beg him to bless your bread and your water. If you are not serving, you will be begging. And God in his covenant does not answer begging. He will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days, I will make sure it is fulfilled. I shared the testimony in the first service. How that somebody sent a cow to my house. He sent a Fulani man to bring the cow. And at the gate, the Fulani man told them they should kill it and eat a female cow, and told them, well, we've waited, this cow can never conceive and have a baby. But the cow was brought to my house. No prayer, just for coming to my house. Now it has delivered twice. The same cow that they say cannot have. If God cares for cattle, how much more will he care for you? No prayer. Now I'm praying for you. You will not be barren again. According to the covenant, you shall not be barren again. As I am speaking the word of God right now, because the word of God is creative, you are conceiving now. God's word is quick. It does not delay. And powerful. Powerful to make you conceive. When the angel came and said to Mary, thou shalt conceive, immediately she conceived, immediately, without meeting any man. It is by faith you conceive, not by meeting with your husband, not by meeting with your wife. Meeting with your husband or wife is just a protocol, it's a process, but the conception is ordered by God. He said, before I knew thee, I formed you and placed you in your mother's womb. God is behind fruitfulness. It is not sexual interaction that brings baby. It is God's mighty hand, the creative hand of God. I speak to you now. Barrenness is over in your life. They may tell you you don't have ovaries. They may tell you you don't have womb. We've had the testimony here. Somebody is told you don't have a womb and yet delivered triplets. Where the babies stay, I can't tell, but the babies were produced by God. Just in the first service, a testimony was read to us. The doctor told the woman, until the next 10 years, you cannot conceive. Under 6 months, she conceived. No complication of any kind. Throw away that report they gave to you. Throw it away! It's science. It is not truth. They are using science to test you. Now I'm using the truth to prove you. I'm using the truth to get you pregnant by the word of the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me to do? No. We are talking about God. We are talking about your doctor. You have celebrated your doctor enough. Now, start celebrating your God. My doctor in Germany, my doctor in America. Believe me, if you talk about your God, 10% of the way you are talking about your doctor, your miracle of God. Get back home today. My God is able. Oh yes. My God has told me. My God has spoken. I'm having my children. My God has spoken. Stop talking, my doctor, my doctor, my doctor, my doctor. They will tell you to do different things. Many things. But God will tell you just to do one thing. And what is it? Believe only. Believe only. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Believe only. So may I believe. That was what Abraham did. Abraham believed God. He ignored the medical facts. He ignored the feeling in his body. Even when he was called dead in his body. And Sarah called menopause. And he was papapause. Believe God. By faith, Hebrews 11:11, Sarah received strength to conceive by faith. Faith strengthens the human reproductive system and put it alive and put it in place. It's happening to someone here right now. We are testimony of a woman after 43 years of marriage. 43 years. She conceived. The pregnancy ran for 9 months. She didn't know. She just got pressed and said, let me go to the toilet. And suddenly, the baby came. Hallelujah. She was adding weight. The husband said, you better do exercise to cut down this weight. And she was doing exercise. She was doing exercise. Until one day she said, I'm really feeling something around me. Let me go and ease myself first. And baby became the easing. The baby was eased out. Please, ignore those medical junks. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20. He said, science, falsely so called, ignore them. They are there by facts. They are not there by truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Don't project the image of science and turn the truth into a shadow. That's what many people do. They project science as an image and turn the truth of scriptures to shadows. That's what science is trying to do with the pandemic of coronavirus. Everywhere you go, television, they give you a picture of how many people have died, how many have contacted it. They are increasing. They are even saying that it is coming back, it's the second time, in a very terrible way. It's not true. It's not true. Many of you are looking at me because you have been loaded with information on television. That's what they want to do. That's why they told you not to go out. So you can sit by your television and they will be telling you every day, pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. Many people are dying. They are dying in Italy. They are dying in Lagos. They are dying. It's not true. And by those facts, they are putting you in bondage. Bondage. It will soon come. It's coming. They say it's coming. Habba. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set. They have told us our old people shouldn't come to church so that they can die early. They've told us our children shouldn't come to church so that they can be indoctrinating them through television. You better wake up. They are facts, medical facts, but they are not the truth. Facts will soon fade off. This is not the first pandemic in the world. Our pastor here was sharing on the other day and said, this pandemic of coronavirus is not listed among the first 20 that has ever happened in this world. Why is everybody panicking? Why is everybody panicking? Because they want to kill you. They want to kill you. But you shall not die. You shall not die. You shall not die.
Let's promote the truth. Many people in church say they can't go to church because of, in order not to contact coronavirus. What an insult. You are insulting God. Did you hear the testimony this morning? This woman said, this is Solution Center. While in church, the husband was fainting. They said, carry out. He said, no, this is Solution Center. Under 15 minutes, the man jacked back to life. The house of God, the healing place, the center of deliverance, is the place you are saying that you may catch coronavirus. What an insult. You better don't let God hear you again. What an insult. What an insult. Coronavirus can never enter this church. No. We have provided all the social things for you to wash your hands to, but that's not, we are doing them socially. But I'm telling you the real thing right now. I'm telling you the truth right now. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Say loud amen, somebody. What did the truth say? There shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Many, many believers don't know what we are going through right now. We are going through the fight of faith. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, when I come, will I ever find faith on the earth again? Satan is trying to steal the faith of people. Unfortunately, many believers have submitted their faith to the devil. I have seen and heard at this time many believers who had faith in God before, but they have thrown away their faith. They have thrown away their faith for fear. When your faith is absent, fear will be present. Now, people who talk scriptures now, they are talking coronavirus. People who greet, you are blessed, they now say, stay safe. They are losing their faith. They don't know. Satan wants to steal your faith. That's why the Bible says, contend for the faith. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight of faith. Don't lose your faith. Keep your faith. Be strong in the faith. It is faith that overcomes. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Hallelujah. Please permit my diversion this morning. I believe somebody needs to hear what I'm talking about. And I believe the church worldwide will need to hear what we are talking about. Satan wants to steal our faith. He wants to make us believe in science. They told us don't go out so that we can lose our immune system. Many people don't know when you stay at home, you don't go out. Your immune becomes low. And so coronavirus can catch you up at home. Go out! Go and walk. Go and walk. Don't be lazy. Go and walk. Go and walk. Even in our culture, in our African tradition, have we not been confronted? We confronted HIV. HIV gave way. We confronted Ebola. Ebola gave way. We confronted Lassa Viva. Lassa Viva gave way. Is there anything that came to Africa that we will not overcome? Now they are telling you from the West, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, until they confuse everybody. Somebody say amen. Shout, I am free.
I am free.
What are we saying this morning? He said, they that be planted in the house of God. Satan knows what will happen in the house of God. He said, they shall be fat and flourishing. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. So the devil said, shut the church. Shut the church. That's why God's servant Bishop Oyedepo called it anti-church virus. Anti-church. There are many devils that are anti-church. It's a force of occultism. Many of us don't even know what's going on. It's occultic forces across the globe. Have you heard about Church of Satan? Promoting all, they are behind all these things. Occultic people, occultic men across in America, everywhere. They are the ones behind this devil called COVID-19. And in any case, it is COVID-19, not COVID-20. It has passed already. 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 Hallelujah. here? Are you in 2019 or 2020? First pastor. Don't be afraid. Come to the house of God. That's where deliverance is. That's where the blessing is. Do all the social things they tell you to do. And you know, we do it because we comply with, we are obedient citizens. We are provided all of those things. But that's not where your faith is. Your faith is in the word of God. Somebody say loud, amen. Well, let me round up. We are running for time. You must be full of joy and rejoicing. Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed until she burst forth into singing. Abraham sang his way into fruitfulness. Isaiah 54 verses 1 to 3, he said, rejoice, sing aloud, sing, oh barren. That's not a prescription for a barren person. A barren person attracts sympathy, but the truth says, rejoice, sing your song, sing away barrenness. He said, then shall thou shall break forth to the right and to the left, and your seed shall be by your side. Say loud, amen, somebody. Don't forget who your God is. He is the baby maker. You can therefore not be a baby beggar. The choir sang for us in praise this morning. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for child. God of miracle, now my papa, oh. Now my papa, oh. How can your father be giving children to others and they will not give to you? So me, I receive mine. Give God a big hand. 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 Amen. Please, I want to repeat again. Be careful about medical reports. It's good you are aware of your body medically, but don't be too conscious of what they tell you. Don't be conscious. Satan is divisive. He will watch strategically into the minds of people to give you some kind of funny report. Reject it, because it is not your portion. I say it is not your portion. I say it is not your portion. Hear this testimony before I make altar call. Some years back, one day I was just feeling some scratch around my anus. Some years back, about 6-7 years ago. And my wife and I traveled. And when we met with the doctor, the first thing he said is that you need to do endomic, or what they call it. Where are the doctors here? I said, no, no, no. I knew what Satan was looking for. He was looking for how to catch me. From Germany, they will tell you to go to Australia. Australia, they will tell you to go to America. For second, third, fourth opinion, until you cannot control the opinions again. No, no. I told my wife, I won't follow you again. That was enough. I won't follow you again. It's not bad to know your health status, to be aware of it, but don't be conscious of it. There are people, innocent body, once they hear one report, they start shitting in their trouser. My dear, the doctor just said, cancer. He said I may die anytime. This is somebody who left home very healthy. You know, this it looks like cough of coronavirus. I don't know when you became a medical doctor. As for you, no evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. God who keeps your spiritual fathers will keep you. Give God another hand, please. Now, you are seated here in this service this morning. You know your ways are not right with God. I'm saying this to you respectfully. I don't mean to insult you or to accuse you, but I'm talking about you yourself in your conscience, knowing that you are not right with God. You know it. Your conscience is bearing you witness that you need to make your ways right with God, that you need to be born again, that you need to give your life to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You have been struggling to make this work. You have been trying to be a good man, but it's not working. You are still held down in immorality, held down in drinking, held down in different kinds of affliction, held down in having charms in your pocket, taking burukutu, taking kankan, and all of those stuff here and there. You know, and you're not happy. I want to pray with you this morning. God told me to pray with you this morning. If you are ready and willing, that's what you need to do. Don't be an hypocrite. Who is an hypocrite? Somebody who is pretending to be who is not. Enough of pretense. Things are not working. You want them to work for you. I love you. I regard you. I respect you. Your conscience is speaking to you right now. I know you will not be an hypocrite this morning. Wherever you are, on the gallery, on the ground floor, stand to your feet. Quickly. Stand to your feet. Quickly. God is talking to you right now. God is talking to you right now. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus, but you are backslid. You know you are a backslider. You know it. Nobody needs to tell you. You are no longer interested in the church. You are no longer interested in reading the Bible. All the things your mother and your father told you about the church, you have abandoned them. You have jettisoned them. Stand up as well. Stand up as well. And you are here this morning. You are not even sure of your salvation. Everyone in this category, stand up right now. Start coming to the altar. Carry your Bible, your bag, anything you come to church with, bring them along with you. God bless you. Run down here, run down here. All young people, run down here. If you are coming, come. Come, 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 come. Today is your day of salvation. Don't wait for anybody. Don't wait for anybody. Don't wait for any devil. Don't let the devil hold you down. The Spirit of God is talking to you. Your heart is telling you right now to come. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Many people are still sitting down when they should stand up. Somebody is saying, is my friend going? Don't wait for your friend. Be the friend of yourself this morning. Be the friend of yourself this morning. Come on quickly. Come on quickly. Church, celebrate Jesus as we receive all these ones this morning. From the gallery, a number of them are coming right now. Come and surrender your life to Jesus. Don't say later, because later may be late. Later may be late. Later may be late. Run down here. Today is your day of salvation. Now is acceptable time. Thank you, Lord. Now, there are still a number of people who are seated. I perceive not less than 30 people, not less than 30 people who are in between. You are in the valley of decision. Should I go? Should I not go? Don't let the devil hold you down. Can your creator be calling you and you let the devil hold you down? Can your God be calling you and you tell the devil you are listening to the devil? Can your God be calling you and you are making excuses? Don't you think he may not come back to you again? He's giving you a chance right now. Stand up in the name of Jesus. I refuse the devil to hold you down. Stand up from wherever you are right now. Stand up from wherever you are. Come quickly. Run down here. Run down here. God bless you. Church, can you see what's happening? Your prayer is working. Your soul winning is working. Your follow-up is working. Let's give Jesus a big hand as we receive them. Come, 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 come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Spirit tells me there are three backsliders here. They are lost, run away from the faith. It took a lot of effort to even bring you to church this morning. You are a backslider. There is no two ways about it. And God is saying, I want you back home today. If you are one of the three, stand up right now. That's all I will say. If you love yourself, come quickly as we pray. Everyone at the altar here, everyone at the altar, put your right hand on your heart. Bow your head. Pray this simple prayer with me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins right now. Cleanse my sins. Take away from me the spirit of the world. Take away from me sin and the devil. Right now, I believe and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. From this moment, I am born again. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we receive these souls into your kingdom and we thank you because the devil has no more power over them. In Jesus' wonderful name. If you are glad you prayed that prayer, say with me, I am now born again. God bless you. Please follow our officials as they direct you. Our church officials will talk to you and then you will take your...
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.